Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Texans are back at it today. They start up practice. Everything's pushed back a day this week. So this is like what Wednesday would be in a normal week. So they're back at practice. We'll get some clarity on Kamari Lassiter, at least as to whether or not he is practicing. He was concussed in the game on Sunday night. Looked pretty bad. Some friendly fire from Jimmy Ward. That's a big one for me, Seth. Nico Collins will be practicing. I guess I'm anxious to see, is he a full go or is he limited at practice? Nico Collins. These will be the things to watch for today if you're a Texan fan. Right. Out of practice.
And Lassiter, you know, a lot of the, I just saw there was a flurry of kind of stats out showing how well the rookies, Kalen Bullock and Kamari Lassiter, have played for the Texans so far this year. They've got 7 interceptions between the two of them.
Yeah.
You know, you can look at last week going up against them, against the Lions. There's two safeties had 10 interceptions between them, and they're a formidable force. So these rookie cornerbacks, as much as we've kind of been wringing our hands over the offensive line and the way Caserio has put it together, you got to credit him with getting a couple of rookies who have come in and contributed big time.
Big time.
You know, and not as first-round picks.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Kamari. You keep forgetting Kamari's a second-round pick just because he came in right away and took that job and has not given it up.
Very Ravens-type signing when you draft a guy that's a really good player but doesn't have a great 40 time or measurables, that they just kind of recognize the actual football playing ability. The guy, the Ravens do that all the time.
Yeah, and he went to
Georgia. Terrell Suggs.
Yeah, and he went to Georgia. He was on championship defenses at Georgia. You're right, and he doesn't have the measurables are good, but they're not great, but he's a dog. Yeah. The Texans are 7.5-point favorites on the road against the Cowboys.
And I guess that has not covered the spread well this year.
Not at all.
And not in victories especially, but even, you know, they did cover it in a loss against the Lions. So kudos to them for that.
Which was at home, I'll remind you. Like, they've not been a good road team this year. They've not been a good team at winning by multiple scores, period, over the last couple of years. They play a lot of close games. And they win a lot of close games. So it's all well and good. But purely from a handicapping standpoint, and I think a perception standpoint too, that the Texans are more than a touchdown favorite on the road against anybody. I don't know that they're equipped. I don't know. This is not a shot at the Texans. I just don't know that they're equipped with this offense right now. You're talking about an offense where if you're going to back the Texans in the game on Monday and lay 7.5 points on the road, the Cowboys have some good players. You know what I mean? Like, they're not a total – they're a train wreck right now because of the culture and they're dysfunctional, and Jerry Jones is their owner, and Micah Parsons has a big mouth. But, like, they've got players on that team. You're asking – if you're backing the Texans to cover – and I think they're going to win. But if you're backing them with your money to back to cover a 7.5-point spread, I will remind you, you are backing a team where you are essentially conceding one entire half of the football game offensively. You are asking them to cover that spread for you for the most part. Unless there's a couple random field goals, you're asking them to cover this spread for you in the first half of the football game.
Well, the big thing is that if Nico Collins is coming back, I think you look at you look at what can the Cowboys defense do to slow the Texans down. And last week, the Lions, you know, they started loading the box up against Joe Mixon, and the Texans weren't able to take advantage of it. They just didn't have guys really creating separation downfield. There are just too many instances, especially when the Lions are, they'd rush three and everybody would be back in coverage, and guys just weren't coming open even on the scramble drill the way that it does when Nico Collins is out there.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
I think that the Cowboys defense is very susceptible to allowing points in droves. And I think as long as Joe Mixon and Nico Collins are both out there, I think this Texans, even without fixing anything, and hopefully they do fix some things over the next couple weeks, even without fixing anything, I still feel pretty comfortable about this spread. It partly, too, because the defense, this is a Texans defense, and I know it was at home, but they gave Jared Goff his worst performance of the year in a performance where he it was coming off of one of the best six-game stretches in NFL history by a quarterback.
Yeah, no, this defense is really good. The Texans defense is excellent. And I guess the other counterpoint to myself would be this is not – yeah, they're on the road, but the home team they're facing has been dreadful at home this year. Like, the Cowboys have yet to play a competitive home game this year, and that's not an exaggeration. They played four games at home – and have gotten blown out by the Saints. They were blown out by the Ravens. They scored a couple late touchdowns to make it look closer than it was. Yeah. But they got for 55 of the 60 minutes, the Ravens were destroying the Cowboys. They got blown out by the Lions. They got blown out by the Eagles last. They have yet to play a competitive home game this year.
The one stat that I saw yesterday that was interesting was havoc rate, where the Texans are third. They're third in havoc rate, and I don't think havoc's even an acronym for anything. I wish it was, but that, like, just the name of the stat is cool enough that I got excited about it. But that's a percentage of the plays where the defense either gets a pressure, a TFL, an interception, a forced fumble, or a pass broken up.
That matches Texans, the eye test for the Texans.
50% of the time, and that is where they'll allow some drives and they'll allow a big play here or there, but they generally, on as many series as not, they get a tackle for a loss, they get a sack, they force an interception. Especially over these last few weeks, they've gotten really opportunistic. And I think that's going to provide offense, in air quotes. That provides some offense by virtue of field position that I think they're going to force the Cowboys into some bad plays.
Yeah, there were some really encouraging things to come out of that Lions game. The result obviously was what it was, and the way they lost that game was pretty demoralizing. But to me, the best thing to come out of that game was the validation of this defense's ability just to smother other teams' passing games. Because the other games they'd had where they were doing historical things completion percentage-wise, and they didn't do anything historic against Jared Goff other than what Jared Goff, like what you just did, comparing it to recent Jared Goff, like compared
to what he did, 50% of his passes.
So,
you know, he hadn't been below in the previous six games. The lowest completion percentage he had was 72%.
Right. So the other games they'd had recently, like the Josh Allen game in Week 5, where he completed 30% of his passes, and that was the second lowest since World War I, or, you know, whatever it was. You know, it's in this century, whatever. You could make the excuse like, okay, he was missing his top receiver, and his top receiver wasn't even that great a top receiver to begin with, Khalil Shakir, right? So that was an excuse. When they did it with Anthony Richardson, who had a completion percentage that was juxtaposed to Josh Allen 3 weeks earlier on all the graphics, you could say, well, that's Anthony Richardson. Seth Payne keeps track of how often Anthony Richardson cracks the 50% barrier.
Well, although, for what it's worth, it was Anthony Richardson's worst performance, too. It was a guy who's a really poor completion percentage having his worst completion percentage.
But there was the excuse, like, okay, well, let's see when it's not Anthony Richardson. This was Jared Goff. This was Jared Goff with Amon-Ra St. Brown on one side, Jameson Williams on the other. Yeah. Sam Laporta at tight end. He's missing a tackle, but okay. You know, he's got both his running backs, and he completed 15 of 30. Like, this defense, from that standpoint, is absolutely for real. And I love that it's the marrying of the pressure and the coverage together. They talk about that all the time. They didn't sack Jared Goff, but if you watch that game, a lot of those incompletions were due to Jared Goff being rushed. You know, being hurried in that game. And plenty of them were due to great coverage, too. And you pick off five passes, you know, the DBs are doing their... That was, to me, the most encouraging thing to come out of a really disappointing loss was, okay, I feel like I'm fired up to see this defense, that 3-week stretch of Dolphins, Chiefs, Ravens. Like, how much, because I don't know how much the offense is going to figure out with this offensive line being the way it is. I just don't. How much can the defense carry this team in those games?
Right, you know? Right, yeah, because they end up, the dam, we've seen it, the dam eventually breaks when you give a good offense opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. They're going to figure it out. And the third quarter, hey, Stroud throws two interceptions, the Texans respond with two interceptions. It's just that at a certain point, when you give an offense like that enough opportunities, yeah, the dam's going to break. Mm-hmm. And there is a part where, especially without Kamari Lassiter in the game, then D'Amico was out of options for exactly how aggressive I think he really felt like he could be in the second half, and you have this healthy lead. I've criticized them being a little too conservative at times this year, but I understand the bind that D'Amico is in the second half once Kamari Lassiter
for sure,
down.
For sure. 5-hour energy fan line, people texting in. If you missed it in the open, I anointed the Texans AFC South champs because the Colts went back to Anthony Richardson, and that's the team that's chasing them right now. I think the Colts are.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Cooked. Incoming 80% completion percentage for Anthony Richardson. People think that I Ted Cruz this thing. And we got some Ted Cruz texts coming in, Seth, because you asked, is the Ted Cruz jinx a bipartisan thing?
I feel like it's an old, it's an old style political comedy where you can kind of jab at people for silly things and I feel like they could be a huge Ted Cruz supporter. They're probably being like, hey, Ted, maybe don't go to the games. Okay.
Oddly, it's a very uniting thing. Like, it's something we can all agree on, you know? Text message. I guarantee you your colleague's Bible study group doesn't like the Ted Cruz jokes. I don't know.
I think they do. I think they can. Byron's Bible study group, who are big fans of Seth Payne, which is I find that as validation.
We need to go to Byron's Bible study group. I want to meet these people. The Bible study.
I'll power rank their takes on these scriptures. I'll tell you. Go ahead and lay them up on me. I'll tell you which one of you are.
No, power rank the. Power rank the actual disciples.
Power rank, yeah.
Let's see how that goes. Text message, I'm a huge fan of Ted Cruz, and I want him nowhere near a meaningful ball game.
Yeah. This will be the thing that can unite us and get us back to being able to have a civil discourse about political things.
Yes.
It's always good to get together with people and first figure out what do you agree on. Mm-hmm. If you want to genuinely make progress and not just have a bunch of 45-second TikTok burns towards the opposition.
Yes.
First, just talk about what you agree on. And mm-hmm. I feel like as a city, we can all agree on, okay, Ted Cruz maybe shouldn't show up at important Texas sporting events.
Yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We can agree on that. We can reach across the aisle
mm-hmm,
on that.
Mm-hmm. Join hands. Text message. This is from Ocho. Sean, I just heard you say Anthony Richardson is starting again, so I'm rushing to add the Jets defense and special teams to my 6 fantasy football teams. The Jets play the Colts this weekend. Unfortunately, they were only available in 2 of them. Yeah, dude, you got to be on it. When news like this breaks, you got to. I was thinking about that. Like,
well,
the Jets Colts game. I'm like, oh, who do we root for in this game? Like, empirically, the Jets, because the Colts are chasing the Texans. But ugh, rooting for Aaron Rodgers.
That does remind me too. You know, what do people always say about me? Like, oh, Seth is so innocent and naive. He's like a child, out there. He's just so pure.
Right.
Sometimes I forget that this week, in which I feel like we've gotten more blowback about D'Amico Ryans, mm-hmm. perhaps, than we ever have, where people are starting to question this or question that. I always forget that there's a boatload of people who either gambled money or set their fantasy lineup on a hope that Nico Collins was going to play on Sunday.
Yeah.
And especially that they get really peeved when, man, oh, you're telling me it was a game time decision. And but it looks like maybe it wasn't even, and I got my hopes up.
Boy.
I got these jackasses, Sean Pendergast and Seth Payne, pure as he is still a jackass, optimistic that that Nico was going to play on Friday.
Dude, yeah, you're 100% right on that. I'm on a group text with a bunch of Texan fans, and a couple of them have Nico on their team, and I'm like, oh yeah, I would play Nico. I'm like, yeah, oh yeah, I would play him. They made me look stupid, you know.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah. So now we're getting the blowback too.
I have a hard enough.
You know, a lot of people just emotionally are guy. They feel put out by D'Amico, Sean, and Seth.
Right. I have a hard enough time not looking stupid on my own, D'Amico. Okay, I don't need you jerking around with Nico's playing time. All right.
Yeah, and then somebody might ask, well, what did D'Amico say that made you feel optimistic about Nico playing? And I can't provide that for you.
I can't
either.
Okay,
I can't. He didn't actually say anything at all that made me feel.
I need circumstantial evidence. Yes. I don't have the transcripts, but there's circumstantial evidence. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, let's get to headlines in the next segment here. We'll talk about the Rockets. Rockets are on a nice one right now. They win last night. Texans back at practice today. News around the NFL. We'll get to all of that in headlines coming up next.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW. The ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hi, I'm John Meacham, the host of Cadence 13's new podcast, Fate of Fact, on how America and its political parties got to where we are today. Available now on Odyssey, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.